Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up clip about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski Black Gamora, a.k.a. Donny Capri.
From the time he went to Italy.
A.k.a. Donny Kayfabe, a.k.a. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Raja. Yeah, yeah, coming at you like Scott Bakula. Baby, baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Gabba, gabba, wee. Gabba, wee, yeah, yeah. The girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our hot, hot, spicy wrestling reactions. I am joined once again for a special guest co-host this month. You know him. Jason Shaviro, the king of the custom intro.
Finally, some respect. You finally got my intro on the pod. I feel like every week we do a little, like, two-second pause after you introduce me where you're, like, trying to find the intro, can't find the intro, don't find the intro.
Look,
see your fourth wall!
I'm in New York, okay? I'm not in L.A., okay?
You don't have your faculties about you.
And in New York, I got my whole system set up. A sound drop would never elude me, okay?
Dash it!
But now, here, I'm making do. So anyway, look, we got so much to cover today, and we got a tight, tight line. So let's get into it. What do you say, Shreps?
I say, okay.
Oh, first thing I gotta say is that you can cash in and get your opinion on the show. All you gotta do is leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Gobble wee. Yeah. So, all right. Shebs, I think we should just get right into the big announcement.
I mean, last week we teased it, and I forbid you to give the deets.
No. Today is the day.
Today is the day.
Dropping.
The deets are at your feet.
Okay.
Let's hit them with it.
August 18th at midnight in New York City after NXT TakeOver.
Saturday night.
Midnight at the Caveat Theater in New York City.
Yeah.
We are going to be having the Comedians of Wrestling Summer Slam-tacular. Well, I will do 1.5 hour of stand-up comedy just about professional wrestling. Also, special guest Dolph Ziggler.
Special Gizler,
Dolph Ziggler, the current retaining
and
defending
still
undisputed Intercontinental Champion. Will he be bringing the belt to New York City?
Will Dolph be bringing the belt back to Caveat?
Shebs, you're the producer of this show officially. Would you like to what would you like to say about the show? What details would I not know as the talent?
Oh, cool. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, because I'm also a salesman at my core. No, I'm not. But this show, I mean, they said it couldn't be done. They said no one could come up with 30 minutes of wrestling stand-up comedy.
Yeah, and who's they? Everyone.
Everyone else except for you and me in this room. Everyone outside of these walls right now doubted us. And
Sarah,
by us,
the engineer today?
Sarah did not think we could do it. Nate Russell, the EP of the podcast network, he said you couldn't do it. Everyone naysayed. They said, first of all, they said, why would anyone want to do 30 minutes of wrestling stand-up? But then you showed them with that viral clip, and you said, hey, the people, they need it.
It's not what they want.
It's what they deserve.
It's what they need.
And it's what they need. So the show is going to be amazing because, A, we have Dan Black doing 30 minutes of wrestling stand-up. B, we have Dolph Ziggler, current Intercontinental Champion. And C, we have special guests and surprises.
Yeah.
And maybe one of those surprises is a prize. It's prizes.
There might be prizes.
There may be prizes.
That's actually not yet to be determined.
Look, I don't know. Dan's not signing off on this, but as the producer, I might just come with a sack of tricks.
It might be. You might have something under your seat, Oprah style. Now, Chefs, where can they get these tickets? I know the flyer will be dropping on the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page under his eye 4 in the morning.
Right.
That'll be coming out.
Only on this podcast do we tease the drop of a flyer. Like, guys, don't worry. This flyer is going to hit later today. the moment you've all been waiting for, a photoshopped image for Instagram.
Yeah.
No one cares about that, but the flyer will be dropping today. The tickets will be live today. If you are listening to this podcast, you can buy tickets to the show, and you should, for all the reasons we just mentioned. You can get them at www.caveat.nyc. It's not a .com, it's not a .biz or a .org. We are a .nyc because it is in the Lower East Side, the coolest neighborhood in NYC. Caveat.nyc. Go to tickets. Find it. It's 8:18.
Saturday night.
Look it up in the schedule. 8:18 at 11:59 p.m.
That's a hard plug, baby. Yeah. Any other deets we need?
I'll be there.
All right. Shebs will be there.
Terrible Tula will be there.
These tickets are not going to cost people an arm and a leg.
No. Oh, you want me to name the price?
I mean, I don't know the price, actually.
I forgot the price, but here's what I think the price is. I think it's 15 measly bucks.
That's it.
It's just 15 measly bucks, not regular U.S. dollars. I want dollars covered in measles.
These are measles.
Measly bucks, okay? Yeah. And if you don't get a ticket, but then you're at NXT at the Barclays Center, and you're like, fuck, everyone here is going to see the SummerSlam-tacular at Caveat, and you want to get a ticket the day of, if it's not sold out, we'll let you do it, but those will cost you 20 bucks at the door. So you want to get those tickets now, people.
All right, moving on. All right. Hey, this is pretty exciting.
I'm excited.
We have our first sponsor on the show.
They said it couldn't be done. These naysayers, they naysay a lot of shit you're doing, yeah, man. They say you can't do the stand-up for half an hour. They said you'd never get a sponsor, but guess what? You fucking did.
Yeah, we got a sponsor on the show, and I got a read to do.
Well, that's how it goes. You got a sponsor, you got to hit them with
some
live reads.
All right, let's get a little under live read music. What do you think? Oh, yeah. We're going to get this low enough. Okay, our sponsor on the show is Adam Letterman, attorney at law. Look, Adam is the top guy at the law firm Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon. Located in New Jersey and New York, Adam was voted a top 40 under 40 lawyer nationally and is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey as a civil trial attorney. What do you think of that, Trebs?
Look, I think it's great. I know Adam Letterman. He's one of my favorite people in the world, but he's, more importantly, one of my favorite attorneys at law.
That's right. Adam specializes in personal injury law. Call this guy if you've been hit by a car, a kendo stick, or Elias's guitar. All Cal listeners get free legal advice from Adam. That's serious. That's just another perk of this podcast. You can call Adam at 732-239-8839, or this is you could just simply message Adam Letterman, LEDERMAN, on Facebook. He's in the Cal group. So
wow.
In our Facebook page, you got access to free legal advice.
He's one of us, guys.
Yeah,
so
man.
You could trust him.
And this is an IRS. This guy, he's not Erwin R. Scheisser.
Erwin R. Scheisser was technically an accountant, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a wrestler with a lawyer gimmick. That'd be great. Like someone's attorney.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, unlike Brock Lesnar, Adam will show up and be your legal champion, okay? Call him, 732-239-8839, all right.
That is a plug. Look at that, man. So just if you're a Cal listener and you got some quiche to spend, you want to sponsor the show, apparently that's a thing that happens now.
Yeah. But if you need free legal advice, you got it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Cal will eventually be the one-stop shop economy. We will have every kind of work.
Yeah, it's going to be like
yeah,
Costco.
Every trade.
I love it.
And eventually we'll run on a full barter system.
Could I be the official stonemason of Cal Podcast?
Yes, JC Reilly, official stonemason.
Okay. If anyone needs stonework.
Just to move things along for time. Look, last week was our most listened to episode of the Comedians of Wrestling. We're going up and up. But I just wanted to say, like, Jabroniacs, we got some new ones. Thanks for jumping on board. You're going to like it.
You're going to like the ride, guys.
I think we had a cash in here of just a listener saying they like the show.
And that's important.
Let's play one that's positive before we get into probably some negative takes.
Sure.
Here we go.
I get heat, baby.
Okay. What's up, y'all? It's Connor, a.k.a. Steve Irwin R. Scheisser. I'm a law school student, so I don't have much time these days, and just want to say, ever since I heard Dan on Gabers' podcast, I have started to come to you all as my sort of de facto cliff notes on all things wrestling. So I was able to get the spark back and find my love of wrestling again. And this way I don't have to sit through all of the content to be able to get that sweet, sweet wrestling action. So Thank you so much, y'all. I know it's all a work, and I appreciate what you all do.
It's amazing.
Wait, it's another lawyer.
A future lawyer. I mean, he might have to outbid Letterman to be the official attorney of the Cow Podcast.
Well, we'll find out. Does Letterman know that it's all a work?
We don't know. We'll have to quiz him. We'll have to know.
Okay, moving on. One more announcement. The Newman Nasty Newman T-shirt contest was supposed to end today, but we're working on this show and we're overwhelmed here, so we're gonna suspend that for a couple of weeks. But some of those designs are looking hot. But if you're thinking of getting in the mix, now is your time. You've just been granted.
Is it suspended or extended?
Extended.
Because if it's suspended, like Ronda Rousey, that means that you can't enter and no decisions will be made. It's just not in the mix. But if it's extended, I don't know. I guess Ronda, Jeremy.
Suspended would mean that you're not allowed to make
submissions. Right. It's over. Yeah. It's closed.
Yeah.
But extended would just be like. Taken extends.
Yeah.
Which is a
penis your dick card.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or longer. So, yeah, another thing is we're in New York right now. So, that Nasty Newman contest should not end without Newman being on the show.
That's part of it.
It should end when you guys are back in LA so Newman can actually. I mean, I'll pick my favorite Nasty Newman shirt and he has to wear it. That'd be great.
That's been part of the problem here is the consolidation factor. We're going coast to coast, baby, Shane style.
Why is he not flying his ass out here for these New York pods?
He doesn't care about the listeners.
I care about the listeners. Yeah. You guys think I'm hard on you because I'm abrasive and I'm aggressive, but listen, I'm just trying to get you to believe the right opinions.
Yeah. Okay.
But I love you.
Well, all right. Let's move right along. So, guys, hold on.
Gals.
All right. So, before we get into Extreme Rules and Raw and SmackDown and your cash-ins, I want to not. Hulk Hogan is now reinstated into the WWE.
Hulk Hogan.
He's been reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame. And this caused a bunch of controversy, obviously, on a lot on the page. On the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. And I just want to say that, look, the conversation got heated in there because this is a controversial thing. But not too far where we got swampy. I think, and I was proud of the group for handling this. Look, we don't have an African-American person in the room. I don't think we should comment on this forever. But simply put, my opinion on the show about the Hulk Hogan thing was simple. Hulk Hogan belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's my opinion, just because in terms of wrestling, it's not really a Hall of Fame without Hulk Hogan in it. He's just that important to wrestling. But his apology has been nowhere near what it should be. His way of addressing the issue has been completely off base. And I know what happened. The update is that he spoke to the locker room at Extreme Rules. And there was it seemed like the report I read said that the African American talent was split 50-50 and people accepting his apology and not. This is all just from leaks.
Word of mouth.
Well, actually, Ellsworth is the guy who spoke the most.
Oh, he gave you a call? Ellsworth called you up?
He's the one who spoke the most. My thing is this, is that the one thing I think you should check out and is New Day put out a statement. That's actually the reason I really bring this up at all.
Kofi Kingston put out the statement on behalf, I think. He was the wordsmith, the elder statesman of the New Day.
And I think you should just check that out. I don't think we need to dissect that or anything. Did you have any thoughts on that or anything?
Yeah, my thoughts are, look, he's not going to be in the – Hulk Hogan does not deserve to be in the Human Being Hall of Fame, right? He's clearly kind of a piece of shit. You know who else is kind of a piece of shit? Pretty much everybody. But if it's a Wrestling Hall of Fame, he's still the top – he's one of the top guys.
They should have just kept him in the Hall of Fame and then just made him go
everything,
away.
What we don't want to get into is look, there's a lot of PR moves and PC culture shit. So there always has to be a reaction. And what he did was pretty terrible. So I get the reaction. Like when Paterno got wiped out of the NCAA records for, I guess, co-signing, kid touching or whatever happened.
Right.
Eventually they put him back. They reinstated his records. Right. He's not a good guy, but he still had the most wins in the NCAA. That's just what's going to happen. So
right.
Hulk Hogan, bad guy, great wrestler.
Yeah. To me, it felt like the New Day and Kofi on behalf of the New Day was kind of they needed more.
Right.
That's how I feel, and I'm not,
You're not a black man.
I'm not a black man, but I do think, if Hulk Hogan pops up on television without doing anything else,
right.
If he just shows up as Hulkamania, I'll feel weird about that. Mm-hmm. I think they could have I think it's such a great I don't want to get back into this, but it's such a great opportunity for him to acknowledge the racism of that generation of wrestler. But,
sure.
You know.
But I don't think he's the guy for that. Like, he's not eloquent enough. He's not – clearly doesn't have the mindset for it because he's probably pretty racist. You know, he's not the guy to bridge that gap and say, hey, we were wrong about some things and we need to address our behavior and our thoughts and our actions.
All right, let's move on from it. We'll address this further as we go.
Jake the Snake is the guy to address all the race. That's Damien. You don't know this about Damien the Snake, but he was actually a rare Southeast Asian copperhead, so he was actually a very diverse snake. So he'd be the right one to address
this. You want to get the opinion of Damien the Snake.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Just to not start with Brock again, because I feel like every time you and me sit down, we just go right into Brock.
We Brock and roll, baby.
We Brock and roll. I'm going to go, and I want to talk about AJ Styles retaining at Extreme Rules against Rusev. Not a surprising retain by any means.
Look, I said there's no way Rusev's going to beat him, but you and Arlen were chatting me up saying, hey, there's a chance.
I just said it could happen.
Yeah, and I said it couldn't happen.
Yeah, obviously, I didn't get worked. I didn't think it would, but I said it could.
Right.
It wasn't like I said on here. And by the way, I said Lashley would win.
Nice.
So anyway, here's what I want to get into is, because I think this is kind of, for me, first off, who do you think is his opponent? Paige is going to announce his opponent for SummerSlam next week.
Yeah, I have no earthly idea. Like,
this to me is the most interesting thing going on. It's like he decisively beat the shit out of Rusev.
Right.
And it's like AJ Styles, top guy in the company.
Right.
Brock's not there. He holds the top belt.
Right. And then
who's his SummerSlam opponent?
Then let us also on SmackDown, he just beat Cien Almas clean. Not that he should ever lose to him, but I mean, like,
it's just tap.
Right, which is just a pretty – I mean, again, who is Andrade Cien Almas to the regular main roster viewers? Nobody, but
– I think that definitely bumps some people out, though.
But
it doesn't matter. Anyone can lose to AJ.
He got a match with the champion. Like, you know, Rusev had to wait 5 years for that opportunity.
He probably wrestled him, though.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, a pretty big look for Cien Almas.
Yeah, so –
But AJ just has been dominating. He's been – decisively winning, and I don't know. There's not even like an inkling of a program they're going to put him in. I mean, unless it's like, I mean, Daniel Bryan seems pretty wrapped up with The Miz right now. I don't know if they're going to pop that for SummerSlam.
No,
but that's on the horizon.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even know.
I'd have to bust out a SmackDown roster and look at it and be like, well, who's free to dance?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be Daniel Bryan or Miz.
It might be Rusev.
It could be
again.
Joe.
Joe is probably who it's going to be.
Joe is probably.
Because he had a big win against
if they're following
Ty Dillinger.
Right. If they're going to – look, it looks like we're going to get Reigns-Lesnar again.
Right.
If they're following that, then what they're going to do is go, okay, we get that match, one for you, one for me.
Right.
That's what Vince – that seems to be his
that's
formula.
That's what he does. Yeah, that's how he plays it.
So if that's – if that's what he's doing, then it is Joe. And Joe, in my head, unless I'm missing someone, is the contender. Unless it's like a Goldberg kind of, you know what I mean?
Well, they've been saying he's thinking about coming back, right?
Which I think would be a great idea. Like, I think this was something we were talking about, the Facebook page under his eye for in the morning, blessed be the fruit. But he the talk about AJ. Like, so this is what I want to say, get into, and this kind of ties into Hogan. Yeah. What?
I was going to say, I can't believe there's even talk about AJ not being the number one guy.
Yeah, so that I wrote a post on the Facebook page. I said AJ Styles is, like, to me, one of the best, most deserving champions, and I mean in WWE history.
Sure.
It's bold, but to me, I just was like, I saw it just happened after Extreme Rules. This dawned on me. I saw he came out and he just, like, looked awesome. He shaved his, you know, had a goatee. What'd you think of the goatee?
That's what, I mean, I don't give a shit.
It doesn't matter, but
I'll tell you what, as much as we care about, like, outfits and facial hair and haircuts, one thing I just don't clock AJ's facial hair. It doesn't appeal to me or not appeal to me.
Yeah.
He needs something, because when he's clean shaven, he looks like a little fratty, puka shell necklace wearing son of a bitch, but as long as there's something on that chin, I'm happy.
Okay, good. He came out and I was just looking at him and I was like, you know, this guy is just a champion to me.
Sure.
A couple of things clocked in. Like, one thing I was like, this guy is like 5'8". Mm-hmm. Like, he's like 5'9" or something, and they don't even acknowledge his size.
And he doesn't even look small when I see him.
No. Like, where Daniel Bryan's whole thing is like, he's small, he's an underdog. Like, AJ, not even an underdog, but is as he's the same size.
AJ's the same size as Daniel Bryan?
It's got to be close.
Well, I mean, if that's the – I mean, AJ looks like a giant. His presence is so much bigger and better.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And then my other point about him is that we were talking so much about Hogan, and I was looking at him, and for better or for worse, the term, like, all-American popped in my head, which is like, I guess, you know, he's a white guy from the South, so it's kind of like,
right,
you know, that's ingrained
so you
stuff.
Think
but
AJ...
I just was like, he's like the new Hogan for me. Like, or he represents what – what I feel like they were trying to get out of Cena that could never lock in, which was like he's the Hogan. Everyone loves this guy, but I think everybody loves AJ Styles. He's a family man. He's all hard work. He's like put your head down. He's unlikely in a lot of ways. He's super athletic. You know,
he's super Christian.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
I mean, that's important when you're talking about the company guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hogan wore a cross.
I mean, I think obviously we need more diversity in terms of what I mean by quote unquote all American or whatever.
Sure.
But there's something that AJ was like, this guy just does it for me. And people point to his promos and you go like, these promos are whatever. It's true. They're fine. I mean, they're not in the C range. I think they're B's. You
they're
know.
Fine.
He's cut some A promos before.
Yeah.
And most of the time those were during A feuds.
Right.
And but to me, it's just like he's a guy like he has like what like Liberty Bell kind of has in like Glow or whatever, where like he's just like there's the champion, he's the champ, and he's a little smaller than his opponents most of the time, and
they really don't build
and he dazzles
him.
Me.
He's a dazzler. For sure.
So that's the thing. Okay, sorry, I'm talking about it. I'll let you respond. They don't. The problem is he's not branded in that way.
Right.
He's branded in a way where like I'm phenomenal. Right. And he's branded more as like an indie talent invading. But to me, it's like I think he's actually like more of a classic. He's like the new modern classic WWE talent. And like should be a little more red, white, and blue. I'm saying down the line.
Right.
And or metaphoric red, white, and blue.
Right.
And I think, like, when he's had those, right now he doesn't get, like, true high-profile feuds. Shinsuke AJ is an indie feud. That's a niche feud.
Right.
But when he was against AJ, like, those were the hottest matches on the cards.
Cena, when he was against Cena.
Cena, yeah. AJ,
yeah,
Cena.
AJ Cena was a match made in heaven, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So I'm saying I'm saying that AJ would be closer to, like, a household name if he could get these big matches.
Sure. I mean, the thing is this. I think that he has the qualifications to be the all-American, you know, build guy, but he's not that. They're not billing him as that because I don't think he could carry it that way. You know, like, he doesn't have the personality for that. He almost reads as, like, Gray. Like,
he's done some good packages of him with the kids.
With the kids.
Come on, man.
He's in Gainesville, Georgia. We've all heard of Gainesville, Florida. No one's heard of Gainesville,
Cena's
Georgia.
Cena's not likable in the way that AJ is likable.
I disagree strongly.
Wow.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, this all-American AJ likability. I think he's just, like, a good dude and a hard worker, and he's billed as an indie guy because his whole path was, like, 20 years of grinding it out before he got to be the WWE champion. So, like, I like that suit on him. Like, that fits to me. I don't think he's like a Hogan, like he's going to be the top company guy. I think Cena was a perfect guy to do that because he just looked so spectacular, and he really knows how to visit a sick kid. I mean, some guys say they know how to visit a sick kid. Cena's, like, visiting one right now.
Yeah.
He's fucking bunking with one.
These kids, when he gets there, they're a little better.
Yeah, he's like the Patch Adams of medicine.
All right, you tell me if I think. All right, so you disagree.
I just don't see. I hear you, and I.
He's not on Raw.
Right.
He's holding the Raw belt.
Sure.
The color scheme's a little off.
He's a black and blue type of guy, and I think he looks great.
He's
got black
Japanese
and blue
letters on him. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying, and that all works for me. I don't understand what's not working for people about AJ Styles.
Like I want a milk cart. Decal.
But who needs he's too Southern to be the guy for wrestling because wrestling's trying to like stray away from like we're a bunch of hillbilly white guys. You know, they don't want their champion to be they're the face of their company to be like a Southern boy, you know?
Well, it's just a Southern boy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cena was at least from, you know, Massachusetts.
Yeah, but that's your Northeast bias.
No, I'm telling you, Vince McMahon, New York, Stanford, they're not trying to have some Gainesville boy who spent 20 years in the Indies be their Hulk Hogan.
Just a Southern boy with a...
I don't know the words.
Ain't nobody man enough to feel
nope,
the pain.
That ain't the words. I don't know. I know it says, ain't nobody breaking this redneck. He's a redneck, Dan. And no one's going to break him, but we're certainly not going to cheer from Hogan.
Whatever. Okay. All right.
By the way, we keep saying, like, cheer from Mike Hogan when we spent the first 10 minutes being like, yo, Hogan's a piece of shit, by the way.
Yeah, well, it'll come out about AJ, but we're down the
line. Oh, AJ's fine. AJ's no racist.
No, he is a flat earther, though. Okay, moving on.
That's true.
So anyway, so let's talk about the Intercontinental Championship stays on Mr. Dolph Ziggler in a 30-man Iron Man match, which Sheb's completely disproved as a concept.
Yeah. Iron Man matches are 60 minutes.
This is an aluminum man match. I was on set of Crashing, and I was talking to Jermaine Fowler about wrestling, which, again, this is like why I started this podcast, just bumping into dudes, just chopping up for an hour about wrestling. Should have been recorded. And
you have an iPhone. You could have left it running.
I told him that was your thing, but I was like, it's an Iron Man match. I was like, 30 man. He was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's like, fuck that. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's an aluminum man match. I like the match, but don't tell me it's an Iron Man match.
Here's the deal. So this match, I really dug this match a lot. Do you dig it?
Match was great.
First time great an storytelling. Intercontinental match has main evented a pay-per-view in 17 years.
Yeah, that's what they said, and I just believe them. But the thing about wrestling is they could be lying and no one would know.
They lie about the stats. I love getting worked.
Yeah, I love it.
I think there was one last month.
But I believe it. I believe that this was the first time the IC belt main evented a
I wish they
a
said which match. Did they?
I don't remember. Maybe they did. I just missed it. But, like, in my mind, it's just disrespect to AJ because AJ Rusev was just as good of a match, and that's for the WWE Championship.
Wait,
that should have been that main event.
I'm looking it up right here. The match was a Steamboat Gobbledygooker.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Get out of here with your work. Works.
Yeah, okay. But my point was that I was like, Brock has put the IC title over more than The Miz.
Sure.
Because of his absence. The thing is, like, would you have made you were pissed off that it was
I wasn't pissed off. I just feel disrespect on behalf of AJ. I'm an indignant man by nature. It takes very little to make me completely offended.
You like the rules.
I like respect.
Yeah.
I don't like rules. I love to break them. But I love respecting people. And AJ got disrespected in my mind.
Disrespect.
That's me.
Yeah, so so this match, I thought it was dope. The big story, like the match, I liked it. I liked the way it was booked. I liked there was a lot of falls. I thought when it started, like, there's going to be one fall at the end.
Right.
That's just how I expected it to go because you're like, these guys are so evenly matched in ring.
Well, one thing that's really funny about the Iron Man match is once you're in an Iron Man match, your wrestling ability, particularly your wrestling defense, suffers like a 50% blow. Like, people are losing to roll-ups. They're losing to just vertical suplexes. Yeah. They're losing to signature moves. If you are in an Iron Man match...
What's the kayfabe reason for that?
The kayfabe reason is that, I guess, adrenaline? I don't know. Like, what could be
the
reason?
You're so in your head.
You know what it is? I think here's the reason. The kayfabe reason why when you're in an Iron Man match, you suck at wrestling and get pinned on any signature
move.
You're just a bad wrestler and get pinned. Literally, look, they have title matches that last 50 minutes with no pins. You're in an Iron Man match, all of a sudden you lose three times in 18 minutes. That's craziness, right? The kayfabe reason is because they're so focused on offense, both of these guys. They were just gunning for the spot. They were gunning for the pins. And none of them got proper wrestling trainer Jason Shibiro in their corner telling them, you got to worry about that defense. Defense wins titles. Offense just wins falls. Another thing I tell all my clients as the professional wrestling trainer to the stars, don't go for two counts. Unless you hit your finisher, don't even go for a pin. Don't go for a pin after a DDT. Don't go for a pin after someone botches something and you hit them with a top rope move. Only go for pins after your finisher is hit. That's the first rule I tell these guys. Second rule, Iron Man match. Worry about your defense more than your offense. And that was the problem both these guys suffered.
All right, you heard it here second. Okay, so I will say that the big story of this match is actually the crowd.
I mean, I think the big story is how awesome the storytelling was and how great they used McIntyre as getting a fall from the DQ and turning the tides of the match. He looked so great. But I guess everyone else wants to talk about the crowd.
Yeah, it is what people bring up to me. And it was talked about on the Facebook page, but for the morning on Sunday's Eye, blessed be the fruit. But I I didn't even fucking care or notice about it.
I didn't
like,
care.
I don't. I was like, whatever. They're just counting.
Yeah,
we have two
fun.
Cash-ins, one pro and one anti.
All right, let's hear those cash.
So what happened was that the crowd was counting. It was an Iron Man match, so they had the
they had a clock.
Up, and they had a clock. After every minute, they would count down like it was the Royal Rumble, like a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right, well, because on the Titantron, there is a countdown going every. Like, at some point, once a minute, you have 10, then 9, then 8, then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the crowd loves countdowns. Waiting for this cash.
Oh, guy. I want to cash in on the Schittsburg crowd. It's okay. I can call them that. I work there. Fans complain that they want something else, that they want a better option. Anybody but Roman, right? Well, let me give you a clue, wrestling fans. When the E gives you the actual alternative that you are asking for and you thank them by paying more attention to a clock than the match in a ring, Vince and company now have zero reason to care about what you ask for in the future. So thanks, Pittsburgh. You are now solely responsible for the Roman Reigns-Bobby Lashley rematch we are getting. The rematch that will lead to more Roman Reigns main events and almost 100% guarantees Roman versus Brock at SummerSlam. Schittsburg, I don't know how you guys can even sleep at night.
I love this cash-in. It was clear, crisp. He had a great point. Vince has given you the match you want, and you're not invested 100%.
Yeah,
you're giving him free reign to just give us more reigns.
Yeah, I was so excited. This was the IC. I said on the page, I was like, I think it's the most excited I've been for a pay-per-view main event in like, I couldn't even remember.
Right.
You know, and then, they were counting. I mean, the shows are long, so people, I guess, like, they, towards the end, they kind of, like, they
right.
kind of like zone
they
out.
They zone a little bit. They get fatigued. There's fan fatigue. I mean, we go to Mania every
I love
year.
This guy was like, oh, don't worry. I work there. Like, not live there. It's well, such a, it's like, it's like, yeah, I could say that because...
I mean, I could say it too. It's fucking Schittsburg, man. Fuck
yeah.
That place. I don't give a fuck.
I don't have a good analogy that's not very stupid. But, like, it's just... I expect him to say he lived there.
Well...
I can say that. I lived there. Where does he work? Like, right
where does
outside
he live?
Of it?
He lives...
Where does he live?
In a suburb of Schittsburg. He lives in Schittsylvania Heights.
Schittsylvania Heights.
It's a small, shitty suburb right on the outskirts... Right on the shitskirts of Schittsburg. So that was the pro. I mean, that was the anti crowd cash in. This guy did not appreciate their shenanigans.
Yeah, the positive.
I think the people need. They deserve to hear the counterpoint.
Well, this is John Silva, aka the King of John Style, cashing in from Minnesota. How you doing? Just saw Extreme Rules a couple days ago. I thought it was a really fun pay per view, especially that match with your friend Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. I'm wondering what you guys thought of the crowd interaction during that match specifically, where they were counting down after each minute as if it was a Royal Rumble. Personally, I thought it was pretty funny. I just think it's fun when the crowd interacts with what's going on kind of like that. But I saw a lot of people were also really annoyed by it. And I'm also wondering, like, the perspective of the wrestlers, does it make them feel like they're not, like, nobody's giving a shit about the match? I can see that perspective, too, but I don't know. I thought it was fun. Wondering what you guys thought.
So, I don't watch wrestling even close enough to know this, and I don't even think this is a fun way to watch wrestling, but I
right.
read something that said that, like, they were working around it, like Ziggler and Rollins would plan the bigger spots when they were not in the countdown.
I'm sure, I mean, they're both pros who know how to wrestle. I'm sure they did that.
Right, I mean, I wouldn't even think that would they would even care. But,
no,
the
match was still good, even though they had to kind of... work around this stuff. Like I said, I'm a very indignant man. I incorrectly said that means I get offended easily. I don't get offended easily. I feel disrespected easily.
Yeah.
And so does Seth Rollins. Because I remember when he fought Finn Balor at SummerSlam for the first Universal title. I was there on the floor. I have the chair to prove it. I'm the best. But that title, as soon as they unveiled
the red title.
That big red belt. It got booed out of the building. People were saying how much it sucked. The crowd was chanting how terrible it was. They were disinvested in the match a little bit because they just kept saying how shitty that belt was. And Rollins took to Twitter, and he was like, Shame on you, Brooklyn crowd. I can't believe you did that. The title, the two men in the ring are what makes the title, not the actual belt. And I'm really, you know, he's just really disappointed. So there's no question that he was very upset, offended, disrespected by the chanting for the Titantron.
Yeah,
countdown.
When was the last time Rollins main evented a pay-per-view in a one-on-one match?
I don't know.
So we get it, and we, yeah, it's it, fuck you, Schittsburg.
Yeah, fuck Schittsburg. But the thing is,
yeah, that's where I stand. You want to know where I stand, Silva? Was it funny? Actually, it was not funny. That's not that funny.
Right.
Actually, it's just people like, they're like, oh, we can all do this. It just caught on. It's mob mentality bullshit.
Right, but my thing is that the crowd is never wrong.
It didn't bother me, though. That's the thing.
It didn't bother me.
And that, you see, it hits on your point. I'm somewhere in the middle there where, like, the crowd is part is organically part of wrestling, and sometimes they mess it up, and that's just in the books.
Right.
Like, I didn't, when I walked away from Mania 34, I mean, maybe I said this on the pod, but I don't remember being like, the crowd ruined that for me. I was just like, that's, count went.
Right.
Crowd was tired. You didn't keep them hot enough. Like, that's how that show was. We talk about that show, and I like that when I'm there, I'm part of, like, I'm the sixth man.
Yeah.
You know?
Dare I say, when we're there, we're
the Manu Ginobili.
Some of the most important members of the crowd.
Absolutely.
I think that our energy really permeates the audience.
Yeah, so
that's why we go every
but
year.
I thought
to
help that
them
Matt
out.
Was dope, and I love they kept it on Ziggler. I didn't need to, like, we extend the match a little longer.
I didn't need that at all. I don't know why. I mean,
they
I didn't
always do that.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that, especially if it's going to result in the same thing.
All I want is the 1 hour at SummerSlam.
The 1 hour Iron Man.
Yeah.
The true Iron Man. Also, I've been calling this an aluminum man. I realize now I'm missing a golden opportunity. It should be called a Tin Man match. I apologize to all my fans and all the Shabiraholics out there who count on me for quality comedy.
Yeah.
This was a Tin Man match. I would love to see the true Iron Man match.
Yeah, I mean, let those guys go for an hour. Hang Drew McIntyre in a shark cage.
Oh, you got to put McIntyre in a shark cage. I'll tell you what they should do. They should put McIntyre in a shark cage with Ellsworth for no reason.
Oh, with a fucking shark.
Ooh, like a shark out of water. It's still dangerous even though it's dying because it's pissed off. So it has like 20 minutes of life where it's going to be chomping away and McIntyre has to fend him off. But just for a bit because then it dies.
Listen, sharks are a precedented part of SummerSlam culture. Brock Lesnar threw a shark. One of those promos. When they first went to L.A., I don't know, where he went in the ocean and pulled a
he
shark.
He pulled out a shark. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Baby. Gobble-wee. All right, let's get into the Universal title picture here. So, look, Lashley won at Extreme Rules.
Yeah,
which
shocking.
I told you he would win.
It shocked me, but I get what they're doing now.
Well, what they're doing is working on us. They're setting up Reigns.
Yeah, they're setting up Reigns. They're like, oh, this guy's good enough to beat Reigns, man. He beat him. But Reigns is not losing twice to this guy.
At some point, you have to feel kind of, I want to say bad, but it's not the right term for Reigns. Like, they book him in a way where he's going to get booed.
What do you mean? They
he
book him
lost
in a way that
the match to Lashley and then wins. Now he wins. Oh, there's another opportunity in between the pay-per-view coming up. It's not the pay-per-view before.
I thought that Lashley match was for number one contender's spot.
No, we talked about that last week.
It was just about the yard? It was just who has the claim to the yard?
Yeah. The whole thing has been like, I might be getting worked here, which you guys know I love getting worked. Sixth Sense style, baby.
Sure.
All you guys want to know that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. I'm looking for reveals.
Yeah, that's the one spoiler that is always allowed anywhere.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kurt Angle, his whole leading up to this Brock thing has been really muddy, but in kind of a cool way when you think about it. Because we do this week to week, it starts feeling like sloppy. Like, originally, they're like, we're going to have this multi-man match. Lashley and Reigns are the only guys in it. Which now, looking at it, it felt like Vince was like, well, all right, can we just throw some other guys in here?
Yeah.
Because those are the guys he's debating.
These are my guys. Wait, do your Vince impression?
Hello! Just a wee bit of the Vince there.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, all right, I need my two guys. All right, who's got the most juicy
Roman and Lashley.
That's such a bad Vince. Your Vince is so bad. All right, anyway, yeah, he knew he wanted those two juicy beef hunks in the mix.
Literally, there's a picture of a multi-man match. It's the two of them and then a bunch of just create a player defaults.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So then Kurt was like, all right, you know what? That match, Brock didn't show up. Like, because of a contractual glitch, I think he said.
Yeah.
That was his term.
Yeah.
Which was tough for him.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, the guy is a contractual glitch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but so they're like, all right, no, we're going to have a we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. And then Roman Lashley got mad. Well, you're going to have a match. And they didn't say it's for the number one contendership.
Right. They just had a match, and they both got real mad at each other about it.
Then Kurt's like, then he shows up at UFC. And then Kurt's like, you know what? If he doesn't show up, he's stripped of the title. But then he still didn't show up.
Right.
And he didn't get stripped of the
title. Well, he said he needs to either
or have a match.
Have a match booked by SummerSlam.
But he said that on Monday. Did he say that the Monday before? I remember the Monday before him being like, oh, I remember at SummerSlam him saying, like, if he doesn't show up.
You mean at Extreme Rules?
At Extreme Rules, sorry, yeah. I felt like he said
I like
he
how
to
before
up.
Extreme Rules you were calling it Money in the Bank.
Now,
and now after Extreme Rules you're calling it SummerSlam. It's like the pay-per-view with no identity. It just absorbs whatever pay-per-view is near it.
You know I hate when I'm on a fucking time crunch, okay?
Well, we're on a time crunch, baby. You got 20 more minutes of Shebs.
All right, so, okay, so whatever. They did the six-man, they did a 2-3-man pods, which was literally, I want to say these matches were designed just to piss people off.
Sure. I mean, the one that Roman won was like, I mean, the one with Elias in it, it's just like, come on, man. We know he's not going to win this thing.
Yeah.
Why not throw Bobby Roode in the mix?
Well, maybe not because it's like, because there was going to be two, there's another round.
Yeah, but like, how shitty would it be if it was like, you know, if the finals for who would face Brock is Roman Elias, and we're supposed to believe for a second Elias might face Brock at SummerSlam?
It's so crazy. Like, what I would like kill to like Black Mirror myself into Vince's brain for a day. Like, I would love to see how he thinks Lashley and Reigns is like good for business.
I mean,
Lashley specifically, like Reigns, I guess he's like doing all this work with him, but like Lashley, I mean, the guy's like 42. He's like. A charisma suck.
Yeah,
you know, we say
bad.
Some people have zero. Like, yeah. Reigns has zero charisma. We've said that before.
Yeah.
Lashley is a charisma suck to the point that I almost, it's like a fucking train wreck that I like to watch.
Well, if they were smart, they'd be like, if we push this guy to the moon, people are going to wish we were pushing Roman because he's so boring. But I don't think that's what's going
well,
on.
Well, okay, so it's going to have Roman, Lashley. They both won their pods, leaving, you know, leaving Finn to eat another pin.
Right.
Finn's kind of in limbo here. I don't know why they don't just drop Finn to the, like, IC
he
picture
will,
or
he
whatever.
Will. That's
like,
going to be the solution on Finn. Is
he's just
going to
hang around heavyweight.
I mean, look, everyone goes down to IC, right? Rollins has been there. Reigns has been there. You got to go down, do a little IC work. It's good for you in the long run.
If he was on SmackDown, though, I mean, he could be, like, in the title picture.
Sure, and maybe he will be. But I don't have a problem with him dropping down to IC. I'd love to see those abs with a little bit of gold around them. It's about goddamn time.
So, Reigns, Lashley, who's going to SummerSlam against
Reigns.
Brock?
Look,
it's Reigns.
They're not having Roman Reigns lose twice clean to Bobby Lashley. It's not happening.
It's straight up. Has to be Reigns.
It will be Reigns.
It has to be. It has to be
now,
because
what
Reigns is so fucking buried. It's the point where I'm like, I want it. Because I'm like, just do it. The same thing at Mania 34, just have it. Because clearly you can't bury this guy so much.
No, he's not eating two clean losses to Lashley. Now, here's
what
might
happen. He's like, this guy's buried in the penthouse, like Reigns. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, he gets a special treatment. He's not getting special treatment.
He
right
is,
now.
Though. He's main evented four Manias in a row. Look, he's getting buried because the crowd refuses to let it happen. We're just not letting him do it. Vince wants to do it. Everyone wants to do it. They're waiting for the moment when the crowd's like, you know what? We're okay with
this. Are you blaming me for this abuse?
Yeah. And here's the thing.
I deserve it.
I don't think Reigns is going to be the guy to beat Brock. I just don't think he's going to be the guy. And I'm excited about that.
You think Brock's going to win at SummerSlam? That ties it to my next point, which is, do you think Brock should be bringing the Universal title to UFC to a match that we know he will lose?
I think that they know that that's the right move. It still legitimizes it. For him to bring the WWE title, not that first of all, he's not showing up with that fucking title. It's not like he's going to wear it around his waist when he shows up to the UFC.
Nah.
That's what Angle said,
but
he's
they will
do.
Be
I mean,
like,
that's
this
what
guy
Heyman
is,
said he's going to do.
They are going to be like, this guy is the current wrestling champion.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan's going to take care of Brock. He's not going to be like, this guy sucks. He's a tin can. He's going to be like, yo, because Lesnar was a champ. He's defended the title twice. He's legit. Now we're getting to Brock talk again, and no one wants to hear us Brock and roll again. What I will say is this. Yeah. What I see potentially happening, is that they schmoz up Reigns Lashley so that they both fight Brock in a triple threat at SummerSlam, and then maybe Reigns will be able to beat Lashley and take the title. or Strowman cashes in, and there's some schmoz there.
But if Roman wins and then then Strowman cashes in quick, that keeps happening to Roman.
Yeah, that'd be great writing, but here's the deal. Roman can't beat Brock. That's better writing if he just can't beat this guy.
Neither could Cena.
Yeah. Well, he's real good, man. He's Brock fucking Lesnar. But I think it's either going to be a triple threat. If you want to take that belt off Lesnar, you triple threat, you have Reigns pin Lashley, or you have Strowman come in, disrupt the whole thing, take the belt. You can't have Lesnar lose clean to Reigns. No one wants that.
All right, moving on. I mean, I think so we both agree Roman is beating Lashley next week clean.
Yeah, that's right.
And
what,
then Roman, we're going to see Roman Lesnar.
I said, or there might be some schmoz, and it might be a triple threat for SummerSlam.
Yeah, right.
But here's
triple threat. Those three guys?
Those three guys triple threat.
Oh, I wasn't processing that.
Yeah, you're not listening to me. You're disrespecting me.
Dude, because I don't have my full setup. And then
Reigns will pin Lashley. That's the only way to take this belt off Lesnar without Strowman's case.
That's probably the way to do it, right?
Look, I'm fucking spinning gold like Rumpelstiltskin here, baby. I know what I'm
talking
about.
That's probably what they'll do.
All right, great.
Okay,
glad we agree.
Let's move on to... Yeah. So Kevin Owens took a serious bump, okay?
Yeah.
So he took a bump from the top of the cage. Strowman threw him off. A couple reasons I really like this. The main reason I like it is storyline-wise. I love that Strowman doesn't really care about winning, in like that way where he's like, I'd rather hurt him. He's like,
right.
I have the
yeah. –
it's not that he doesn't care about winning. It's just that he's like, I have the briefcase so I could just kill this guy.
Right.
And, yeah, he'll win, but I get to kill him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Someone in the group, I think, said that – Strowman's gimmick was like a big guy who's like hyper competitive, and I'm like, that's not his gimmick, man. He's not a competitive dude. His gimmick is that he's just a monster and he can kill anyone.
He's got like an id to him, or like he's got like a not verbally, but there's something him where he cares more about decimation.
Yeah, he's
than
just
winning.
He's just a monster.
Right.
He just wants to steamroll everyone. He wants to just kill everything in his path.
But he's like a little sophisticated. Sophisticated is generous, but
yeah.
There's a sophistication to him. Like, he's thought out. He's not just pure Braun. I just said Braun without realizing
right.
a name.
I would call him 90% Braun, 10% Strowman. Where Strowman equals sophistication.
His name is just Braun Strongman.
Yeah, that's his name. They really dug deep. They dug a deep well to come up with a name for this guy.
Is that the most ridiculous name in wrestling, like modern wrestling?
I think that it could go. I bet a bunch of the Jabroniacs even didn't really put it together. There's like a brawny strongman.
That's called King of Queenings.
Right, they King of Queen these guys. But I think that because in the 80s. This guy's name would literally have been
Braun Strongman.
No, it would have been Braun E. Period Strongman.
Yeah.
He'd be Brawny Strongman.
Yeah.
Right? But now that we're in the sophistication era, that's what this era is called. It's not the ruthless aggression.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
sophistication.
The sophistication era, right? He is Braun Strowman. They sort of modernize it a little bit, put a little twist on it, and no one is the wiser.
This is actually a good version of a benefit of Strowman having the case.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to win.
Sure. I think when we were talking about Strowman getting the case, I was pretty bummed out about it. I still am. But people were like, well, they could do some cool stuff with him
that
in the case.
That was me.
No, it wasn't you. It was other people. People around.
No, it was me when you were in L.A.
No, there's
and
people
I said,
here,
about-
people there. I'm
yeah,
always
okay,
talking
you
to people.
You won't give me any fucking credit.
Well, you didn't give me respect before. I'm taking respect away from you.
Okay. So here's the thing. People saw the airbag.
Did they see the airbag?
Yes. Yeah, so
I mean, I don't give a fuck if there's an airbag there.
Me either.
Great. Good. He still jumped 20 feet off the
cage. We don't want him to die.
Yeah, I don't want him to die. And also, the thing, when I was watching this, I was like, how is this different from the bump that Foley took? And I was like, it's not.
Well,
the
no,
only
the
difference
Foley,
is Foley did it no air.
No, there's a Foley. Did you see the airbag?
No,
you
but I
see,
sure there was.
First off, there's an angle. You're like, why even show this? Because the airbag. Like, there's like a full airbag. It hits and then it deflates.
But I'm saying I like that there's an airbag because it separates this bump from the Foley bump.
Yeah.
Foley did it with nothing. This guy had an airbag. I mean, it's still super impressive. When I watched it, I'm like, yo, he's taking the Foley bump off the steel cage.
The Foley bump is the craziest.
And it's the best. And then the crazy thing is he then came back out and took an even worse one
through
the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Where he split his lip open.
They still claim that wasn't supposed to happen, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Foley is God.
Yeah.
That's my comment on that.
All right. So before I lose you, I gotta that bump was dope. Kevin Owens, it's good to see Kevin Owens getting back to just being a fucking maniac. But
sure.
So I think we're full on getting the Daniel Bryan Miz feud.
Are we getting it for SummerSlam?
I think so.
Okay. Or are they going to cost each other something at
SummerSlam? Well, is Team Hell No, like, not a thing?
I think it's done. I think it's done.
I think it was just for pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think they just did it for a little nostalgia tour. I love Mrs. Promo. Mrs. Promo just being like...
Wait, hold on. I got it.
You got the whole promo?
Yeah. So, here's the deal, because I want to get into this, is that Miz cut this promo that I thought... It perfectly encapsulated everything we've been talking about.
It's everything
about.
We said last week, and he was like, well, I'm the Miz. I'm incredible, so I know what these guys are talking about.
Never, and I mean never, a world-beating wrestler like he claimed to be. Daniel Bryan is nothing more than a glory hound, obsessed with setting impossible goals to tug at your heartstrings. And now that Daniel Bryan has realized that everybody's seen through his lies, he threw one last Hail Mary pass to try and remain relevant. That's the reason for this sappy Team Hell No reunion, not to win the tag team championships, it's so Daniel Bryan can roll out his greatest hits. But newsflash, Daniel, no one's buying the album. And as sad as this whole thing has been, no one is sadder than Daniel Bryan. You see, because whether he wants to accept it or not, deep down inside, he knows the truth. And the truth is, Daniel Bryan's return from injury has been a bust.
Nice.
And each and every week he comes out here is another week he's destroying his legacy, and no one has the courage to tell him. Not you, not Kane, not his wife, but I have the courage to tell him that Daniel Bryan's days of headlining WrestleMania are over. Daniel Bryan's career, just like Team Hell No, is dead.
Yeah. I mean, so I thought it was worth playing the whole thing because it's like, this is... perfectly authentic writing for what we've been discussing.
Absolutely. And no one is cutting better promos than The Miz.
Yeah. So, I mean, Miz is saying you're no one's telling you that you're not as good as you think. And it almost works now. It's like the thing that I wanted where it's like Daniel Bryan, what Arlen was calling Jewish Daniel Bryan.
Which I found that disrespectful.
Okay. As a
Jewish man.
As a Semite. But you...
He wanted a more thoughtful Daniel Bryan who's worried about his career longevity and his health and being there for his daughter, and he's like holding
back. Neurotic.
He's more neurotic. He's more a little bit more cautious, and he called that Jewish Daniel Bryan.
We didn't get that, but there is a thing where Miz is just like, you're not that good anymore, dude. Like, your days of headlining WrestleMania
are over.
It's just like, you're a fucking nostalgia piece.
Yeah, but
here.
That's, I agree.
And no one has the balls to tell it to you. And like, that is the... That's awesome because it immediately elevated Daniel Bryan.
Sure.
It made like, oh, there's some real juice here. And this is what Miz is incredible
the
at.
Best.
The best at is hitting on what he says what you're not supposed to say.
He says what's real. He cuts through the bullshit, hits you with a promo it's kayfabe, but it's really the reality of the situation also.
And it's allowed to happen because Miz loses so much.
Right.
So he's allowed to say the thing that you're not allowed to say because
at the end of the day, he's putting the guy over for the feud.
You're going to defeat him.
Yeah, he's not going to beat Daniel Bryan in that big WrestleMania feud.
Right. So, I mean, we're going to get this match, the Daniel Bryan-Miz match, and it's going to be for no belt.
But are we getting this match at SummerSlam for sure?
Why? What do you think? You think we'll get... What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like Bludgeon Brothers, Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Undertaker?
I don't know. I just
That'd
feel
be
like
a cool match.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, yeah. I don't know what we're getting out of these guys. I don't know what's the first, like, their match. I want their match to be at WrestleMania. Maybe this starts the program. It starts the feud, but I don't know, man. I feel like they might need to make a couple chess moves before they just give us, before they waste Daniel Bryan, the Miz.
Well, they're unwilling to elevate Miz to where he needs to be for this feud to be, like, insane.
Right.
Like, if Miz is the champion.
I mean,
and
that's
like,
the thing. That's what it should
now.
Be. Like that's
now
why,
I'm the guy main eventing WrestleMania.
Maybe Miz is fighting AJ at SummerSlam.
Well, That'd be interesting. Then that's really long-term storytelling, which is what I never have the faith in WWE to do.
As well, you should.
Just being like, no, I talk shit about you, but I don't want to wrestle you.
I'm not
it's
wrestling you. I got bigger things to
time.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, you suck now.
Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be dope. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. So far this... all right. Well, this paints it. Next, Ronda and Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam.
Yeah, my two girls, that the two is best set, in the biz.
We said she got suspended a little more, six more days, but then she gets and she judo flipped Alexa in a way that looked pretty badass.
I mean, everything Ronda does looks badass. She's yeah. great.
You like her cornrows?
No, I didn't like those. I didn't like those at all. They were weird. They were weird rows. They're just on the top. It was like a, it was like an Aleister Black of cornrows.
Yeah,
with like a sort of. I don't know how to describe it. There's like a flat sheened side piece. At first I thought she shaved the sides of her head.
No, they do it so well. They get it down nice.
I mean, it's a nice touch, but I didn't like the way it looked at all. But you know what? It's not my place. If she wants to rock her hair that way, go nuts, baby.
So here's my main thought. Like Ronda Rousey's so over. She's so awesome. There's a clip of Ronda Rousey. This is my favorite thing. On Instagram, it's her when Finn Balor is entering at Extreme Rules, and it's her and her husband in the front row.
Hoppa?
Just marking out for the Finn Balor, like, arms up entrance.
It's
move.
One of the fun entrances. Yeah. There's a few fun ones out there.
But you can't fake what she's doing. Like, I'd feel if this was like, hey, Ronda, we want you out there, maybe, like, celebrate what the universe is doing. Like, nah, she's like, this is fun.
She's
and
a wrestling fan.
She's a mark.
Yeah, she's
That's
a mark.
That's what makes Ronda so dope is that she's a mark.
Right. It's a little.
She's actually living like our fantasies, but she's the better of us. Like, she gets to join wrestling like at the high level.
Yeah. Well, she's so good. She's so, so good. But I think your fantasy is Joe Rogan, right? Just have a podcast, commentate for wrestling or UFC.
No, my fantasy is Daniel Bryan.
You want to be Daniel Bryan? Very late to that
game, my
friend.
If you can do it, I can do it. But my fantasy.
My fantasy is to get hit by another car and sue for millions of dollars. And Adam Letterman, attorney at law, would represent me and make me all that money.
Absolutely. This guy, no gimmicks, no holds barred.
Undisputed champion of legal advice.
No, but seriously, you can message him in the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page if you're talking about wrestling at 4 in the morning. Ronda Alexa, this is my question for you.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam, we're going to see that match. Is that a match you're excited
to
actually watch?
Of course I
am. On paper, it's Alexa versus Ronda, but can that match be good?
Dude, every minute Ronda Rousey has set foot in that ring, it has been gold. So why do you think it won't be gold when she does it again on the big stage?
I guess I have no reason to doubt her.
I have no reason to doubt Ronda Rousey's ability in the ring, and I have no reason to doubt Alexa Bliss's ability to sell stuff. So how is this going to be bad? The interesting question is, do they give Ronda the belt
yet? The question is, are you ready?
Yeah, the question is, are you with me?
Wait, so Ronda's going to
win. Are you going to ride the Ronda Rousey Railroad with me? The quadruple R Express. Are you with me?
The RR.
The
RR. That's her next shirt. Yeah. The RR. Well, the Ronda Rousey
Railroad. It'll be like the railroad crossing sign with just four R's on every quadrant.
And
Ronda Rousey Railroad.
It's an express train, and she's just passing all the other female superstars.
Express train to the belt.
You see Bayley on the local.
Crying. Let me tell you one thing. I know you don't want to waste time talking about, but Bayley and Sasha, am I supposed to give a fuck if these two ever become friends again? This is most boring, most drawn-out feud I've ever seen in my life in pro wrestling.
And it's their fault. There's no reason it should be bad.
No, it should be bad. A feud over are we friends or not is not a wrestling feud.
Well, Sasha said, I love you.
Yeah, big news here on the on the dirt sheets.
I literally was like, is this like a sexual thing? Because
if it's
just friendship, I love you, then it's like, this has to be done a
lot
better.
She's like, you know I don't like talking about my feelings. Look, the dirt sheet said that was a shoot. She wasn't supposed to say I love you, but she did, and then Bayley didn't know what to do. Just kidding, no one cares. There is no dirt sheet about this.
There's no, because everyone's moving past it on the RRRRR.
Dude, I don't ever need to see Bayley ever again. And Sasha, you're on thin ice with me. I'm this close to not caring about you. Let me tell you something about Bayley.
Okay.
She is also a charisma suck. The only thing interesting about her is the ponytail level at which she wears her hair. And that is not enough for me, sir. Get her out. Yikes. All right, what were you going to say?
No, not that. I mean, you went off of Ronda Rousey. I mean, look, I'm excited to see that match. I think the way that match goes is Ronda Rousey squash.
I think Ronda Rousey takes the title.
Yeah, she's definitely winning the title.
You know, it's so funny. A couple months ago, she wasn't. Like, last month, Money in the Bank. It's like, you know, it's too soon. There's no way she's winning. It's too soon. 1 month later, it's like, that's the right time. Now's the time.
Should we credit my dad now or later?
Listen, I don't game plan. I improvise. And I'm going to improvise her arm off.
Get ready for more classic Ronda promos just like that. What do we need to credit your dad with?
My dad was so excited for Rousey to come. Everyone was not pumped for it.
Who? I wasn't pumped for it? I thought you were going to say, like, your dad called Ronda would be champ at SummerSlam. And I'd be like, wow, that's a big call for a guy who doesn't really know what SummerSlam is.
No, my dad, he did a cash in and he said, can you smell what the Rousey is kicking?
Yeah, I know what he said.
But he did a whole thing just being like, she's an extreme athlete. Like, she's like a beast. She's going to be amazing.
Yeah, but guess what? I was in his ear telling him that since day one.
Well, I didn't think she'd be able to win us over so much with just the athletic
but
prowess.
You knew, and you were saying it too. And
I knew it would work.
That it's going to work.
From the start, I said it would work.
And then as soon as it happened, once we saw WrestleMania, you again were like, I knew it was going to work. I didn't know it was going to work this quick.
I didn't know I'd respect her as a wrestling talent this fast.
I respect her to the moon and back.
All right.
I'm riding the Ronda Rousey Respect Railroad. That's a quintuple R.
okay. All right, well, we got you for one more topic, right?
You got me for 2 minutos.
Okay.
And then I'm leaving to
Shinsuke
listen to Menudo.
Nakamura. You guys know.
SmackDown coming back to Fridays. SmackDown, SmackDown, it's on Fridays.
Okay, anyway, Shinsuke Nakamura is the new United States champion.
I mean, we all knew that was happening.
Everything in its right place. Yeah. You said that's where you wanted him to be.
That's where he belongs.
Apparently, Jeff Hardy has got some injuries. He just got back from injury, but I guess he's got
retina injuries from the weird contacts he's wearing?
I don't know. But interesting thing. So Randy Orton comes back.
Let me tell you something. This was my favorite part of the whole pay-per-view. This was amazing.
You love Randy.
No, it has nothing to do with loving Randy. This was just for no reason. It was just so great what he did. So Shinsuke wins by low blow into the finisher. Classic way to win a match in six seconds.
Well, I love that that's part of Shinsuke canon now.
Shinsuke is a bull. He's a cock knocker.
Yeah, he's a cock knocker.
Look, if you're going to fight Shinsuke, he's got some dangerous strikes. Perhaps his most dangerous strike is the cock knock.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. I think that his biggest move, his finisher should be the low blow, not the Kinshasa. That's the only strike finisher I'll tolerate is a low blow. I love it.
I love the Kinshasa. What about a Kinshasa to the plumps?
Ooh, to the plums?
Could he pull that off?
No,
he'd
can't.
Have to go through your legs.
I don't know. Look, I would love to see him
I would
try.
Love to see a version of the Kinshasa where he hits you in the nuts, slides through your legs.
Yeah, why not? I'd like that you're calling it the Kinshasa.
What about instead of a Kinshasa, sometimes he's setting them up for the Kinshasa, but he does the whole setup, but then he just hits you in the nuts.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love it. Anything that equals him hitting you in the balls is great. But the match was cool. This is a good way to take
the
belt.
He doesn't hit you in the balls at all. Your balls actually fall comfortably into the elbows.
Well, that's how a low blow goes.
he goes right into the valley of the nut blow.
That's even more dangerous because if you've ever seen a nutcracker, like the thing that actually cracks walnuts, it's one of those. It's like a little vice. He's gently
that's
resting
a common
your nuts.
Misconception of the physics of the
right.
low blow.
People think a low blow when they see it, like, oh, he didn't really punch him in the dick. He wasn't trying to. No. What they want is to get the elbow crease right into your nut satchel and then do a quick
squeeze
pump,
back.
A quick bicep curl. And that exerts more pressure. There's more torque on your
Absolutely.
Boys.
Absolutely.
So that's what's going on. Shinsuke's a master
so
at it.
So if he does it correctly, if the ref doesn't break it up soon enough or turn around fast enough, your nut will pop out.
He's essentially going to pop your nut. He's going to explode
And
it.
Then will he eat it?
No, but there was a guy in Japan who severed his own genitals and cooked them for an audience to eat.
Oh, okay.
That is some true Japanese shit. That really happened.
Okay, Orton. So Orton pulling on Jeff Hardy's ear?
That's this week. I want to talk about Extreme Rules, all right? First of all, I always say it. People hate on Orton. He is one of the best when he is threatening. When he's like a menacing dude. All right, I'll calm down. I'll shout
out to you.
When Randy Orton is boring, unless you make him a psychopath who is a real threat.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did, and that's why it worked. People went apeshit for this, not just me.
Randy Orton as a heel is like, it feels great.
It's right, man. That's the way it goes. And look, he got over like gangbusters at Extreme Rules and on SmackDown, and he didn't drop one RKO. That's pretty impressive. So at Extreme Rules, after Jeff Hardy takes the low blow from Shinsuke, loses the belt, Randy Orton comes out. You're like, oh, okay, he's going to challenge Shinsuke. He's going to step to Shinsuke. Nope. He just takes Jeff Hardy, spreads his legs, and stomps viciously on his plums.
Yeah.
That was incredible to me. I thought it was so great.
And then he beat the crap out of him again on SmackDown. And it was pulling his ear.
Yeah, he was pulling that stupid gauged earring he had.
The gauged ear, which
that's
I love.
Why you don't get
I hate those.
That's why
a wrestler who's all about pulling gauged earrings out, yeah. I love that.
But I look, my whole thing is I'm afraid of my appendix, man. That's one liability I have. It exploded at any time and I could die. Same thing. A gauged ear, why would you give yourself another liability? It's just another thing that you didn't have on your body that someone could now pull you from.
Oh, yeah.
That's danger zone, man. Mm-hmm. I don't wear hoop earrings. I don't wear gauged earrings. I don't have my ears pierced. I don't wear any.
Put the hooks to you.
I'm just saying, you got to be careful out there in the streets.
Okay, so Randy Orton's back. He did the thing where he's like, yo, I'll tell you why.
You just got to ask. Ask me why, and I'll tell you.
He said,
severe and strange.
This is an example of something WWE's going to completely drop.
Yeah, they're not going
to. You'll have to wait. He says, you want to know why? You'll have to wait.
I love it.
And we're never going to find out.
We'll be waiting.
They're
going to
completely
forever.
Change the storyline. Any chance we get Orton AJ? And is
that
swerve?
Is a good chance because he's free. He has no dance partner. He's not
well
because
that's what I'm saying. Hardy's written off TV, and Shinsuke and AJ, Shinsuke and Orton are not going to dance.
Well, I don't think
right?
Orton needs the U.S. title. They can do something. I mean,
he just had it, but he won't. He had it at Mania, but he.
Right.
But I'm saying he won't. They're both heels. They're both like
right. But Orton can turn face with one RKO. Like
he came back so heel.
So hot in the heel zone. Yeah, I think Orton might be a dance partner for AJ. That could happen for SummerSlam.
Sweet.
Orton, I mean, has a great track record at SummerSlams. SummerSlam is where he
got opened by Brock.
He got split open by Brock, which was incredible that he took that sort of damage.
In.
That's where he cashed in on Daniel Bryan after DB Plus beat John Cena. Actually, I call him DB Minus now. After DB Minus beat John Cena, Orton at SummerSlam is a great legacy, and he was in a stable called Legacy. And my legacy is to leave. Why? Because I have to go to physical therapy.
All right, you're going to go to physical therapy?
Yeah, I'll see you later.
I'm going to quickly close this out. I'm just going to say, B-Team, I got nothing to say there. They won the tag team titles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care about that.
People give me shit for calling Curtis Axel a zero. Bo's the heart and soul of that team. Curtis is a doof.
I'm going to play one more cash in, and then I'm going to just close it out.
Okay, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I did here's my two notes on SmackDown. The coolest look to the weakest performance ratio ever goes to Jeff Hardy. He looks incredible. I love this little look he's put together, but his weakness rate is through
the
roof.
You heard someone shitting on the face paint.
Nah, it looks great. And then Shinsuke.
And he said broken. That's the thing I wanted
to
ask
and
him.
He said,
out the fucking door.
Well, he said, what did he say? That whole spiel he does.
He cut that promo, and it was really weird. He ended it by just going like, all right, man, good night. Have a good show.
Yeah, it was great. But he's like, I'm obsolete. All right, enjoy the show, guys. Popcorn's in the back. The concession stands are open. He's bad, but that was one of his better promos. And then Shinsuke, after, cut a great promo, because I love that he said, God bless America, and held the belt. That's pretty cool.
It's always great when a foreigner talks about being American.
I love it. Kevin Owens did it to a T. The real note for SmackDown is I watched my full episode of SmackDown, and I saw R-Truth, and I was like, oh, R-Truth still exists? Weird.
Oh, and R-Truth joke was funny.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny. I mean,
it was funny.
I've seen that joke
a billion times. It's a big improv joke.
Because
you an improv, guys, let's say, if you want to know what a hack improv joke is, if you...
Someone
talks to you, and then you don't hear them and pull out earbuds because they're invisible.
Okay.
But I didn't see coming because it's not done in WWE.
Fair enough.
And I think it tricked them into being like, you got to go out there. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I mean,
I thought it was funny.
All right.
R-Truth is funny.
I hate him.
He is funny.
I hate everything.
You got time for one cash in?
Yeah, play me one cash in, and then I got to go.
But this is Kenny McGraw, UCB Comedy, Jabroni. Cashing in for the first time ever. I'm gonna make it quick. I just watched this Mojo Rawley match, and I gotta say, this guy, I swear, I honestly think I would like him so much more if his gimmick was solely I'm Rob Gronkowski's friend. I think that would be so funny. let me know what you think. That'd be silly. All right.
It would be silly, Ken McGraw.
Yeah, I like that.
Ken McGraw, UCB dude. Yeah. Here's what I hate about Mojo. He sucks, and they decide to make him a heel by putting black trunks on him, and that's like the big strategy for making him a bad guy now. He wears black. But I love this idea. If his gimmick was forget all the shit he's done and just say, I'm Rob Gronkowski's friend, and I like to wrestle, he'll show up sometimes.
I did like when he like made fun of that hamburger guy. I like him like just be like, you're nothing, like going up to weak people, and then it'd be cool if he really retreated for guys who are close to his level.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He should just be like, my friends are Ron Gronkowski.
Ron Tabby.
He should get caught photoshopping.
Yeah.
And like he's the pastor at Gronkowski's wedding.
He's the officiant.
Okay. Sweet. All right. Look, we're gonna wrap
it up. We'll make it short and sweet this week.
Shebs, you get the last plug in for the Cal Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam Tacular.
Okay.
August 18th, Saturday night at midnight after NXT TakeOver here in NYC at Caveat Theater.
You just plugged it. You need me to plug it? You just did it. So here's the deal. If you're going to be in New York for NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam, right after TakeOver, 1 hour after NXT TakeOver on Saturday night, August 18th, you get your sweet little asses to the Lower East Side to Caveat in New York City. Go to their website, www.caveat.nyc. If you don't know how to spell that, it's caveat.nyc. Go to tickets. Scroll down until you get to 818. You will see the Cow SummerSlam Tacular Show. Buy your tickets now because they're $15 while they last. There'll be 20 at the door the day of. You don't want to lose that $5. You could use that to become a Patreon. So why waste it on tickets that you could buy in advance?
That's right.
Get to the show. Dan will be there. Ziggler will be there. Me and Terrible Tula will be there. Who else will be there?
Don't forget, the flyer is going live.
Oh, yeah. And guys, whatever you do, sit the fuck down and buckle up because within the next 24 hours, there will be a flyer on social media promoting this show.
Feel free to share the flyer, look at the flyer, print it. If you live in a different city, John Silva in Minnesota, bring it to your local Kinko's, print it out.
Yeah, paper the streets.
Paper the streets. Hey, remember, our sponsor, our new sponsor on the show is Adam Letterman, attorney at law. Remember, this guy, Adam Letterman, Cal listeners, you get free legal advice. No gimmicks. You call 732-239-8839. That's Adam's number. You can talk to Adam. Or you can just shoot him a message simply on joining the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page where you talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. Adam Letterman, he's in there. L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. He's in there, and this is going to give you free legal advice. You got legal advice, you need it.
Yeah,
first sponsor of the show. That's it. Hey. We got a Patreon. Shebs, you get out. You go.
I'm out of here. Later.
We got a Patreon. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. You check out our bonus episodes. Our latest bonus episode where we watch Ready to Rumble from 2000. You can check that out up there. I just re-listened to that. I thought it was hilarious. We got new bonus episodes I'm recording here in NYC. Coming out. Probably I'll drop one next week. I just looking to lock down a guest here. I hope you guys are coming to this live show. What else do I need to cover? I think that's it. I think I covered everything. Hey, everybody. Thanks for spreading the word. We're growing. Coming off our biggest episode last week. This is awesome. So, hey, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for jumping on board, becoming a Jabroniac. I'll see you August 18th. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.